The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 48. Jeremiah, chapter 48. And we're going to read verses 11 and 12 in just a moment as our text verses, and stay right here in this chapter until the very end of the message. We'll be in James 5. So Jeremiah 48, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12 before we have our special and get into the message today. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. We don't do it out of ritual, but out of honor. And God has exalted His Word above His own name, so it does us right to honor what God honors. But please join me on verse 12. Here's what Jeremiah, the prophet of God, had to say. He said in verse 11 of chapter 48, Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send unto him wanderers that shall cause him to wander, and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. Let's pray. Dear Lord, teach us this morning, I pray, from this passage. Help me. Give me the exact thoughts and words. Lord, you know what I have written on paper under, I hope, what was your leadership as we paused and meditated, prayed, thought, and, Lord, studied your book. But, Lord, what I put on paper, I want that to be exactly what you want. So lead, guide, and all the direction of the message. And give us an open heart. But Lord, help us to have a listening ear and to have an open spirit to what we hear. May it help us today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Resurrection power, lead me to the cross.
song, Stephanie. Thank you this morning. I want to draw your attention to verse number 11. We read it a moment ago, Jeremiah 48. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, hath settled on his lees. Now look at this next phrase. And hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. So let me speak to you a little bit this morning on the subject, are you being emptied? Are you being emptied? I think you'll understand it as we go along here in the illustration that God is using here to teach us a lesson in this chapter. Let's pray and ask His blessing. Lord God, I pray that You'd help us to live from day to day, as Stephanie just sang, being led to the cross. Help us to die to self. Lord, not our will, but Thine be done. And that means from time to time, Your will would be for us to be emptied from vessel to vessel. It's not pleasant. It's not always enjoyable, but it is necessary. Give me, Lord, I pray, the exact thoughts and words for today's message. Lord, we don't want to just have a service. We'd like to have a visitation from Your Spirit to our heart. Lord, much of it has to do with us and how we're willing to pay attention and listen. And Lord, approach Your book with a hunger and a thirst. And You promised that if we'd be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we would be filled. So Lord, help us to approach it in that way this morning. And help me, I pray, as the messenger, use me as a tool, like a carpenter would. And I'd appreciate it. Help us today, O God. Be our help and portion in Jesus' name. Amen. God gave Jeremiah a very, how should I say it, message-specific ministry. He was called the weeping prophet. And I believe he was called the weeping prophet because of his message-specific ministry. His message, his specific message, was that of judgment. If you read his book, all of Jeremiah, I think there's, 56 chapters, I may be wrong on that. I mean, it's just sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon on the judgment of God. He preached the pending judgment of God to the nations of Israel and Judah. But his message did not stop with his homeland. God gave him messages of judgment for many other nations of will as well. He had a message of judgment for the nation of Egypt. He had messages of judgment for the nations of Philistia and Tyre, the city of Tyre. He had a message of judgment in chapter 48 for Moab. In chapter 48, it's Moab's turn to learn of the judgment God was going to bring upon them. Let me summarize what the chapter talks about here. In verses 1 through 6 and in verse 8, God says judgment is going to extend to all parts of the country. All parts of the country of Moab. In verse number 9, Jeremiah preaching the word of God, the message of God says that spoilers would come upon them and they would attempt to flee, but they could not, they would not be able to escape. In verse 16, the Bible tells us in this message that the enemy is coming shortly. In verses 40 and 41, the Bible tells us the enemy will come on Moab swiftly and surprise them. And the whole chapter is about God's judgment coming on the country of Moab. In other words, although they were a very strong nation, they would suffer great destruction that would touch all corners of their country, and there would be no escape when God takes His hand of protection, when God takes His hand off of a country, folks. Katie, bar the door. Now, I'm not going that direction this morning. I'm not going to nationalize my message, but I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of parallels here in this chapter with what could be coming down the pike to the good old United States of America. It's not a day for Christians to be wishy-washy in their dedication to Jesus Christ. Okay? Just not. Now, I'm not going that direction this morning, but I'm just telling you that when God's hand comes off, there's no telling what happens. I mean, there's no telling what happened. But anyway, there are several causes listed for this judgment in this chapter right here. Now, I want to draw your attention to only one of them this morning. And again, I'm not going to nationalize it. In fact, I want to pull it in this morning to where I live and where you live. And I want to apply this personally, not nationally, not to the United States government, not to the United States citizenship as a whole. But I want to apply this to me and you. Those of us in this room this morning, What is God saying to Moab, and how does it apply to me and you? All right, verse number 11. Moab hath been at ease from his youth. Basically, as a nation, Moab had lived a life of stability and security and prosperity. Now, listen, they were the enemies of God's people. But still, they had enjoyed security and stability and prosperity. Israel had seen some days like that, especially under King Solomon. But they had seen far more difficult days as a nation than Moab had. Basically, God is saying here, Moab, you've really had it pretty easy. As a nation, as a people, you've enjoyed stability, you've enjoyed security, you've enjoyed prosperity and strength. You've had ease, basically, from your youth. Now, God uses an illustration from the making of grape juice or wine to rebuke Moab. Look at it again. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. All right? In the making of grape juice or wine, I use a little visual illustration this morning, not as detailed as I'd like for it to be, but I'll use it the best I can. You can kind of see, and you kind of get the picture here. The harvesters would go out and they would gather the grapes. The grapes were then crushed. I mean, grapes like you and I would have here in a grape vineyard in America. The grapes were then crushed. And after a whole vat or container of grapes were crushed and mashed, the juice from the grapes would be poured into another container. All right? Now, the pulp, or the hulls, I should say, the hulls would be left in the vat or in the container in which the grapes were mashed. You can picture that in your own mind, okay? So the solid pulp, the solid hull is left down there. But in the crushing of the grapes and in the pouring off of the juice, you're going to get some sediment. You're going to get some solid. You're going to get some pulp. It's not going to be pure juice. And so it was left in a container, and some of that solid would settle. It was left there for a period of time. And then it would be poured into or emptied into another vessel. Now, they never turned it all the way up. You know, it would be like if you had some, you know, you got pet peeves in life. You know what pet peeve? Can I share one with you this morning? Coffee grounds in the bottom of my coffee. I would not have made a good cowboy. I guess they just threw the grounds in the water and heated it and drank. I just can't. There's nothing more distasteful than putting that last bit of coffee out of the cup. That's awful. I guess there are worse things in life, but not many. Okay, so you know, they carefully would pour it off, you know, leaving the sediment that had gathered in that glass had settled to the bottom. You know, they would leave the sediment that they pour it right down, just right away, then they'd leave that. They're trying to purify the juice. Trying to get all the solid out, all the pulp. But you know what I'm talking about, seeds and that kind of thing that comes out, okay? And they would pour it from vessel to vessel. Each time, the solid and the heavier matter would settle. That was called lees. Lees. So that which would settle in the bottom of the container, or the vat, or the vessel, was called lees. It would then be poured into another vessel. And whatever lees were in that vessel would settle to the bottom. They did not leave the juice in the vat or the container too long without emptying it, or else it would turn rank, syrupy, sour. They didn't want the taste of the pulp and the solid material to infiltrate the juice. So they would do it often. Every so often they would pour, probably less frequently as the process went on. And they would pour from vessel to vessel and let the lees gather on the bottom. So the pouring of the juice from one vessel to another was the way to remove the solids, the pulp, refine the juice. And they would only allow the juice to settle on the lees for so long. And now it's time to empty it. And now it's time to empty it again. And remember, Moab had enjoyed stability, security, prosperity, strength, and God says, you've never been emptied. From vessel to vessel, you've never been poured out. You've settled on your lees. That's what he said to Moab. Now listen very carefully. Every Christian, if we could choose, would choose stability, security, and prosperity over instability, insecurity, and poverty. Right? If we could choose, we'd choose that. By the way, this is what Job experienced. God blessed him. God gave him stability. God gave him security. He gave him prosperity. He gave him strength. Job talked at length about it in chapter 29. He went all the way through his life and said, man, God blessed and God blessed and God blessed and God blessed. And then he got down to verse number 18. And you know what he said about his life of stability and security and prosperity? He said, I shall die in my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Don't get on Job for saying that. Which of us wouldn't say the same thing? Who of us wouldn't say the same thing? And we got a life of stability, a life of security, a life of prosperity, a life where everything is going smooth. Well, who wouldn't want to die in their nest? That's what Job said. Job said, you know what? This is how I'm going to live the rest of my life. This is comfortable, and this is enjoyable, and this is practically pain-free. A house, and health, and money, and vehicle, and family, and honor, and peace, and influence, and well-known in the city. I like this stability. I like this security. I like this prosperity. I think I'll just die this way. Unfortunately, we don't call the shots. God had a different idea for Job. And the Bible says that he poured, doesn't say these specific words, but you know the story of Job. What happened was God poured him into another vessel. He emptied him into another container. He poured him out. And when God poured Job out, everything was, look folks, in the pouring of the juice from container to container, you're always going to get some sediment from this glass into this one, right? Okay? Now, use a filter. And if you pour it from this glass into this glass, even though the sediment may be less, you're always going to get some sediment. And when you're pouring it out, what's happening here? It's swirling around in this glass. It's filtering around. It hasn't settled. And this is what happened to Job. He's got security, stability, prosperity, strength. I think I'll just live like this the rest of my life. In fact, I think I'll just die like this. And God says, no, that's not my plan, Job. In fact, I'm fixing to pour you out into another vessel. And brother, when God poured Job out into another vessel, things were swirling around him. His life was upside down, topsy-turvy. I mean, he had a hard time even getting a grip on it. Where there was stability, now there was instability. Where there was security, now there's insecurity. Where there was prosperity, now there's poverty. It is uncomfortable. It is unenjoyable. In fact, it is painful. Painful. And if we were choosing, we would choose the stability, the security, and the prosperity, and we'd stay in that condition, and we wouldn't change anything. Just let me die like this, Lord. But look, those who made the grape juice, they knew that the juice could not sit too long on the lees. They had to pour it from container to container. If they're going to make the juice drinkable, it had to go through the process. I'm going to miss eventually sometime this morning, okay? It had to go through the process of being poured from container to container. And the juice makers knew that. And like the makers of the juice, God knows it's not good or best for us to settle on our lees. And so He empties us from time to time into another container. It's never fun. It's never enjoyable. In fact, sometimes it's painful. But folks, it's a process that the juice maker knows the juice has to go through. Y'all with me this morning? This is what He's talking about here. And He's trying to give a vivid illustration to Moab because they're in the Middle East, man. They're making juice. The grapes are about. They understand all of this. Moab, you have sat too long on the lees. You stayed in a comfortable ease, strength, stability, security, prosperity situation too long. I'm going to pour you out. Just like the juice makers do. I'm going to pour you out. Now, I wonder this morning if that is what is going on in some of the lives in this room. Is that going on in your life this morning? Have you recently been emptied into another container? Was there in your recent past pretty much ease, comfort, security, stability, and now all of a sudden it's just like stirred up? Huh? Then you look back at how it was, like Job did. That's how I wanted to die. I wanted to die in ease and in comfort and stability, live the rest of my days like that. But folks, it's not my choice and it's not your choice. The great juice maker knows that to make the juice what it needs to be, it's got to be emptied out. It's got to be poured from vessel to vessel. Moab, you've sat too long on the lees. You've not been poured out. You were doing pretty good. You were living fairly stable, secure, and prosperous. Now you've been poured into another vessel. Marriage was good. Family was good. Work was fine. Now you're laid off. Now the marriage is struggling. Now there's this difficulty and that difficulty, and life was so settled until God poured you out. Now it's all. Are you with me this morning? Huh? This is what he's saying here. Now these thoughts quickly. Number one, being settled has disadvantages. Being settled has disadvantages. You say, what in the world is a disadvantage of being settled? I like being settled. So do I. I like being comfortable. So do I. Bless the Lord. You know, we saw the coming through Pennsylvania. We saw the Amish out. It's interesting to see them. You know, six Belgium horses there pulling the old plow through the field. It's interesting to see, but I'm not volunteering for that. Give me an air-conditioned tractor with an eight-bottom plow behind it. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm for convenience and ease and comfort. Everybody likes to be settled in life with everything in order. All my children here, and my wife or my husband here, and my health is here, and this is going to work is this, and church is this, and everything is just so settled. And God comes along. Huh? It's because being settled has disadvantages, folks. If the truth be told, being settled has disadvantages. Look at it in verse number 11. He says at the end of the verse that you haven't been emptied from vessel to vessel, Moab. Therefore, your taste remains in him. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. You see, if the juice was allowed to stay on the lees too long, then the lees would begin to taint the juice. It would become sour, as I said, pasty in some cases, and rank. And not tasty. And so it had to be poured off. If it sets too long, it was not good for it. You say, well, you know, why can't we just get the process done out in one glass? Let's just get poured into one glass and let everything settle and then live like that the rest of our life. Because you can't live on the lees. You can't settle on the lees too long. It begins to infect the juice. And truth of the matter is, folks, verse 29 tells us what happened to Moab because they lingered on the lees. Look at it. We have heard the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I think Moab had a little bit of a pride problem going on, don't you? Now let me ask you a question this morning. If everything is stable, if everything is secure, if everything is prospering, what in the world reason? Why would you get proud? Because that's in the heart of man. That's what's natural to us. He said, you've settled too long. Your security, your stability, your prosperity has become a detriment to you. And instead of being thankful, you become proud, you become complacent, you become apathetic, you are quite haughty in your spirit and attitude. You know what, folks, it would be great if we could handle being settled in life completely, if we could remain right in our spirit and right in our heart with God. But there is just something very strange in our human nature that relaxes or grows careless or casual in times of being settled. Listen, Do you understand that God thought very highly of the man Job? And he said to Satan, he said, hey, have you checked out my servant Job? You thought about him? Why, man, he is a mature man. He's lived righteously. He's revered me. He's hated and avoided evil practices. But still, the settled, stable, prosperous life got to Job's heart. And he became pretty impressed with himself. And God said, you know what, Job? I'm sorry. But stability and security and prosperity has done you damage. I can't have that. I want to tell you something, Christian. I wish I could say it was different, but it's not. Human nature. We are prone to come to the place when everything is settled got it all under control. It doesn't take much to show us we don't have it under control. God comes along and says, if you remain settled on these lees, you're going to end up totally ignoring me, not depending on me. So I'm going to have to empty you into another vessel. That's what God did to Job. So being settled has disadvantages. It has disadvantages. Now listen, number two this morning, let me say this. The one who empties us into another vessel loves us abundantly. The juice can't make its own choice to jump out of this glass into this glass. The juice can't make that decision. A careful, cautious hand is needed to pour out the contents from one glass to the other. So it is when we are emptied out into a different vessel. It happened because a loving Heavenly Father thought it best for us. A loving Heavenly Father thought it was best for us to be poured into another vessel. Being unsettled will not harm us. God loves us too much to do us harm. It may not be enjoyable, but it has a purpose and a design to make us better. It's done by the hand of the one who loves us abundantly. So when God pours you, and by the way, I'm not talking about, sometimes it's not judgment. Sometimes it's just a refining process that God says, okay, you've been in this situation long enough. I don't want it to turn rank. I don't want it to sour you. I don't want you to get too cautious. So it's time for me to pour you out into another situation. Less comfortable, less stable, less secure. But I'll never do anything to harm you. Never. I love you too much to harm you. Number three, let me say this. Don't fight the emptying. Don't fight it. Look at James chapter 5. This is where we're going to go to James. Don't fight the emptying. Look at James chapter 5 this morning. And I'll finish up in this chapter. James chapter 5 and verse number 11. Don't fight the emptying. In James chapter 5, verse number 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. And he is referring specifically here to times of testing and affliction. Verse number 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job. Do you see what he said? The patience of Job. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Do you know what got Job through this time of being emptied? It was his patience. He did not enjoy the emptying, but he did not fight it. So, you get a pink slip, and they say, okay, you're laid off until further notice. Oh, man. Or you get a bad report from the doctor. And there rises up this fretfulness, this anger, if you will, this that has to be replaced with patience. You don't enjoy being poured from one vessel to another, but folks, you can't fight it. Hey, remember when you learned to swim? I remember when I was trained to swim. You know what the first thing they told us about the water?
Don't fight it. Don't fight it. They taught us that we were somewhat buoyant. Somewhat kind of changes over the years. You're somewhat buoyant. And they taught you how to float. I remember the lady, you know, the man who was in the pool, it was a public pool, said, okay, now, we want you just to take your feet up lift your feet up off the bottom of the pool and hold your breath and see what happens. We didn't do our arms, we didn't do our legs, we just held our breath and lifted our feet up off the bottom of the pool. And we were somewhat buoyant. What did they say? They said, relax. And don't fight the water. Don't fear it. Don't fight it. You start to panic. You start to fight. Did you ever see a kid in the pool? Frantic? In 3 feet of water? Stand up! Put your feet down! And when they finally hear you and breaks through, they put their feet down and they're sticking 6 inches out of the water. And it's this strange, bewildered look on this face. Huh? Yeah, because if you get in water, you start panicking, you become overcome with fear, and you begin to panic and begin to fight the water, then it becomes your enemy. And the truth of the matter is, people who are drowning become so fearful that the person going to rescue them has to approach the drowning person very carefully, or that drowning person will drown both of them. And you've heard of that happening. They seize them and just, they both go down. Relax. Don't panic. Don't fight it. When God pours us from one vessel to the other, it's not the time to try. It's just relax. Don't fight it. Go to your Bible. Get the book of Psalms. Get up in the morning. Read the Word of God. Talk to God. But relax. Don't fight being empty from one vessel to another. You're not going to get any good out of it if you do. You've got to just go with it. Now, I don't mean be laissez-faire. I don't mean if you get laid off, don't look for another job. I don't mean that. You understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about on the inside. I'm talking about your spirit, your attitude. Don't get mad and growly at everybody and angry at God and just relax. Settle down. Don't panic. If you'll take a deep breath, pull your feet up off the bottom, you'll find out it's not as bad as you think it is. Float through it. Get done. God's not trying to harm us. He's not trying to harm us. He's trying to make the juice better. He will never do anything that harms us. He'll just always... And that's the thing you and I can't do. We can't panic. We can't go into a frenzy. We can't become ugly and fight the process. Let God empty you from one vessel to the other. Are you with me this morning? So I just can't do it. Okay. What about Jesus Christ? He's seated on the right hand of His Father on the throne in heaven from eternity past. Reckon things are comfortable? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. From eternity past. When did that start? Always has been. Yeah, I know. You reckon he's comfortable there? The darling of heaven, all the angels singing his praises. One day God says, Jesus, it's time for me to pour you out. He sends him to earth, where he's not praised, he's sneered at. He's not worshipped, he's hated. He had no place to lay his head at night. The birds of the air have nests. The foxes have their holes. The Son of Man hath not where to put his head. Lived in poverty. As far as we know, his only possession was the clothes on his back. Walked by foot over those Palestinian countryside roads. was persecuted, criticized, laughed at, and mocked for 3.5 years. Until they went to an old rugged cross and, like Stephanie sang a little while ago, died there. Laid his body in a tomb for 3 days and 3 nights until he walked out of there victorious. 40 days and 40 nights later, he ascended to the throne that he came from. Kind of sounds to me like even Jesus was poured out for the benefit of everybody in this room. And if God hadn't said to Jesus, it's kind of time for me to pour you out into another vessel for 33.5 years, you and I wouldn't be on our way to heaven this morning. You can handle being emptied. It's not to hurt you. It may not be always enjoyable, but it's not meant to harm you. God's got a great design. He's going to pour you out from time to time. What was in there is out now. What settles in this glass won't be poured into this one. And on it goes through life. Nobody dies in their nest. Nobody. The truth of the matter is, some of the most difficult pourings seem to come later in life. Have you been poured out? Have you been emptied from a stable, secure situation to relax? Don't panic. The one who's doing the pouring has your best interest in mind. He's in control. Let's bow our heads together, listen, and pray this morning.